All right, welcome back to Unleashed, the most legit Celtics podcast in the game. I'm your host, Ev, leader of the Vinny P Fan Club, the fastest beer shotgunner of all podcasters, and a true fans fan of your 42-19 Boston Celtics. We got episode number 55 today, the Wally Szczerbiak episode. Do me a favor and spell that for me real quick. Wally Szczerbiak. To my surprise, I don't really remember him being, this good. Averaged 16.5 points during his time in Boston here. So shout out to episode number 55, Wally Szczerbiak. Let's get into it. Before we jump into this episode, I wanted to take a second to tell you about Podcorn. Podcorn is a marketplace that connects podcasters with an amazing array of podcast sponsorship opportunities, such as host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and much more. And with Podcorn, it doesn't matter how big or little your podcast is, everyone still has the same ability to set their own rates for their own ads and start collaborating with brands immediately. In fact, I did that exact same thing. I went on to podcorn.com and started up, and within a couple days, I was already talking to a handful of businesses about potentially sponsoring future episodes. So I highly suggest you head over to podcorn.com/podcasters. I'll put that link in my show notes below. Make sure to click that. And I wanted to thank Podcorn for making this super simple. Such a hard process, they've turned completely simple. And I wanted to also specially thank them for sponsoring this episode you're listening to right now. So head over to podcorn.com. Again, thank you to them for this episode. All right, what up, Unleashed Army? So usually we're on here pumping up this team, pumping air into their tires. Rah, rah, let's go. This team's unstoppable. They're amazing. They're legit. But this episode's a little bit different because based on the questions I've posed to you guys on Twitter and your answers and yada, 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 we kind of have a couple serious things to talk about, like one being the health concern of this team. Next, is this team truly a contender to win the NBA Finals? So both of those things, I don't know if they're going to be as rah-rah, unrealistic, totally biased, Celtics diehard sort of related topics, because I do think it's important to be realistic about where this team can go and what is stopping this team from getting to, say, that, you know, pencil them in for the finals level. So we are going to talk about that. I'm going to be as realistic as I can be. I'm going to leave my bias at the door, and we'll see how I do, because I'm pretty biased toward the Celtics team, but I'm going to be pretty realistic here. And then we're also going to play, I think we're going to play one voicemail towards the end of this episode. We also have a couple Twitter questions to get to as well. So let's start off with that health concerns topic. Yikes. All right, so I guess the biggest question to answer right away is this team going to get healthy, right? Is this team going to get healthy? Guess what? No, they are not. So it stinks because just about, I don't know, maybe 72 hours ago, I'm thinking to myself, boy, and I tweeted it out too. You guys loved it. Like, once this Celtics team gets healthy, this league better watch out. Be afraid. Be very afraid of a Celtics team that is healthy and has all of their starters and all of their important bench players. Like, that's a diabolical team. That team is unreal. But I'm starting to just think, and not even starting to think, I'm starting to know that there's almost no chance that that happens. It's sad. And what am I basing this off of? Sure, they can go and do it and they can get healthy. Sure. But I'm basing it off of the far more than half the season we've already witnessed. You know what I mean? That's what I mean when I say I'm trying to be realistic here. I'm trying to take the sample size, which is more than enough that we have. And what kind of put the pit in my stomach and allowed me to just be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to open my eyes. I'm going to take the green screen away from my eyes and view this team objectively. Kemba Walker is set to make his return, right? He's going to play limited minutes, whatever. And then what happens? Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, sick. Okay, that stinks. We get one piece of good news. Robert Williams and Kemba Walker are back, and all of a sudden, two very important players go down with sicknesses. Marcus Smart was throwing up like 20 times in a day. Whatever, he ended up playing, but Tatum didn't. Tatum missed a game. And then all of a sudden, in said game, and we're going to talk about the Nets game a little bit. If you want me to break down the game, make sure you are tuning in to the Celtics live post games that I do on Twitter. Live streaming, honest reactions, instant reactions, whatever. A lot of you guys tune into it. Thank you very much. Don't need to plug that here. But what happened during that game? All of a sudden, Jaylen Brown goes down. Gordon Hayward goes down. And we're looking at this team that the minute you think this team's healthy, they're done. It's like all of a sudden, Jaylen Brown pops his hamstring. Gordon Hayward bumps his knee. Marcus Smart starts yakking everywhere. Kemba Walker needs his knee drained. Robert Williams has a hip and an enema, or whatever the hell it was. Like, this team doesn't stay healthy, and I don't know why. I can't answer that for you, but there's a trend here, and I hate having to bring it up because you know what this does? This takes away that sort of secret power that we have, that wild card we're holding as Celtics fans, to be like, no, guess what? Wait for this team to get healthy. You wait. Once this team's healthy, you're in trouble. Well, now I'm almost on the train of like, that's never going to happen. And I hope, don't get me wrong, I hope I'm proven wrong by this. I hope the Celtics team goes, oh, Ev, you don't think we can get healthy? Watch us and let's go make a run for it. But as of right now, and I'm being realistic, just using the sample size, what are we seeing? A team that is 1,000,000% not staying healthy. So again, I hope I'm wrong. I hate to take away that rah-rah sort of Celtics fun vibe that we usually have on the show, but let's be real. Like, we haven't seen this team able to be healthy, and it's less of something that we should be, you know, tweeting about and saying it's like an excuse. I feel like we're using it as an excuse a lot right now, and I think we got to start just accepting it as a reality. And again, hope I am totally, totally wrong on this, or at least proven wrong, because I'm not wrong so far. The trend has shown that the Celtics team cannot stay healthy, but damn, yeah. Holy hell, I hope that they get healthy and then can prove everyone wrong, like me. So let's move on to what I tweeted out a couple days back, and we have all of your comments, and I'm not going to give my take on it yet because I want to read you guys what you guys sent in. And like I say, if I ask for your opinion, if you send in a question, you send in a voicemail, you answer my tweet about something about the podcast, guys, you're getting a shout out. I literally say it every time. This is the most transparent Celtics podcast you'll have. When I listen to voicemails and I say, hey, that's really going to help the show, I mean it. When I say that I'm going to give you a shout out, you can plug whatever you want. Go for it. Again, the voicemail line is 617-302-6363. So if you see me ask for a voicemail, feel free to be like, hey, check me out on Twitter at John Smith. But we're doing the same thing here. So I'm going to read these replies. When I simply asked, I said, hey, is this team a contender? I said, is this a legit contender? Because the wording here is going to be super, super important for me. But here we go. I said, new podcast being recorded. Answer this question. Do you think this Celtics team is a legit contender? Why or why not? And I think we have, I don't know, maybe a dozen replies. I'm going to get to the ones that I see here. No particular order, but I'm going to read them out and give you your shout out and see kind of what this small sample size of Celtics Nation is thinking. First one's coming in from Dolio Podcast. He says, I do not think they are a legit contender, but I do think they are 1 year and a few additional minor pieces away from being one. They need to approach this offseason creatively. Let the Jays mature one more year and not target a big fish, but maybe a true 3-and-D guy. All right, and again, I'm not going to interject and give my opinion on these just yet. I want to give you guys, I guess, your own little platform here to you know, if you did me the courtesy of replying and giving me your thoughts, I'm going to give you the courtesy of letting your statement stand for a little, and then I'm going to recap afterwards. Kevin Sirios tweets in. He says, no, they need a few more veteran players mixed in with good enough young players and a experienced tall center. Frank Viola says, we need a bench scorer to really round out the roster. No big man will stop Embiid or Giannis, so don't even worry about them. I'll come back to that. Mark always in the streams and interacting with the podcast. Shout out to you, Mark. Mark Belleville. Yes, they are legit. Here we go. Some of the positive ones start rolling in. Yes, they are legit. They have shown they can beat all the top teams and are eighth in offensive rating and second in defensive rating. They have 4 to 5 guys that on any given night, they can get you 25 points, and they're playing D at an extremely high level. That's a recipe for success. This one's coming in from KJH Comedy. I think they can make it to Eastern Conference Finals depending on seeding. Good point there. If they play the Bucks or a healthy Sixers team, they're in trouble. But I like their chances against any other East team in the Eastern Conference Finals. Finals, they'll probably lose to the Lakers, Clips, Rockets, everybody else. It's 50-50. A couple more here, but we're starting to get a trend that it's almost like a 50-50 sort of, you know, person A believes they are a contender for all of these positive reasons, and then person B brings up the negative reasons as to why they aren't a contender, but maybe they're close. So let's keep going here. J. JW says, I do think they are legit, but it will go down to where they are set up in the seedings. Like the Bruins did last year, they made it to the finals easily. So I think for the Celtics, the West is not really a threat to Boston. They can beat Houston, they can beat other teams, but Houston cannot beat a good team. I know I kind of botched that reading, but pretty much, JW, if I can paraphrase here, you're saying it comes down to the seeding. Kyle Porch, definitely. This team has leaped and bounded, and they haven't played with their full potential on the court due to injuries. This team is deadly. Okay, there's someone that's high on the Celtics. Going to definitely botch your name here, though, but it's the Wicked Axe is your handle, and then Serini the Brown Leprechaun says, I think we are definitely a legit contender because Brad can turn any team that has chemistry into contenders. He did it 2 years ago when Kyrie was out and could not last year because, let's be honest, as great as Kyrie is, he killed our team chemistry. Our team is special right now. This one's coming in from George Hathaway. They can for sure be a contender with Tatum leading the way, but their big problem is not having a big man. No pun intended, I guess, huh? That can successfully stop Giannis in the playoffs, and if Bede is healthy, I don't know who can guard him on the Celtics. Lance says, conference finals at best, next year win it all. Charlie says, they are absolutely a legit contender. They've played the best in the Western Conference, wire to wire, without once having a full, healthy starting five. Assuming the health doesn't become a serious problem, there's no reason they can't compete for a title. All right, so there's the, you know, dozen or so that we read, and for me to recap, so shout out to you guys, shout out to anyone. If you guys know the handles there, if you listen to the handles that I say, please go follow those accounts for tweeting in and helping the podcast grow. The Unleashed Army is growing by the day. But to recap that, we're seeing that people are either totally on board with this team, like I mentioned, and they're naming all the good stuff, efficient defense. Any given night, 4 to 5 guys can go for 20 plus. And then you're seeing this other grouping of people saying, no, here's the hole. And they're not filling that, and they haven't filled it. The trade deadline has come and gone, and obviously after that point, your chances of improving or filling that void is pretty minimal. You're going to have to hope for something to go, hoops and ladders, you know, a buyout or anything like that. So we're seeing two sides of this, and let me tell you where I fall in this. One of the ones we read from Dolio is a good point. They're a contender in my mind. They're not a legit contender. Remember, you know, a couple minutes ago when I said the wording is going to be very important here? They are not a legit contender. They're a legit team. I say it all the time. It's my new catchphrase this year, and somehow you guys love me using the word legit. It's like I invented the word. But they're not a legit contender to me, and why is that? Because all of those things we mentioned, staying healthy a couple pieces away, I think those are out the window. Like, I don't know if they're going to secure another little piece and make a run. I don't think they're going to stay healthy for the rest of the year. I'm sorry, green teamers. I'm one of the biggest green teamers around. You guys know that. But I'm just using the sample size we have. This team doesn't scream to me, hey, we're going to stay healthy. No, this team screams to me, you know, they're painting that picture of, oh, if they could only stay healthy. And early on in the year, that was cute. Like, oh, just wait for us to get healthy. We're, you know, 60 games in now, and this team's not healthy. So I'm just being realistic. So I do like the point being brought up of, you know, not this year, but next year. And we heard that in a couple of those responses. Not this year, but next year. And one thing that was brought up, I believe his name was Kylon, in one of my post-game streams. I believe it was the Nets loss post-game stream. He said, why are we always saying it's next year with this Celtics team? Totally true. You can't really argue that. But the one thing I'll say is this next year wording that we're using, or promise that we're not delivered on yet, has a huge X factor, and that's Jason Tatum and then also Jaylen Brown. Like, we've never had a next year potential like we have now. So, yes, we've said it before, next year, next trade deadline, next game, hell. Well, this time we actually have this legitimate sort of next year. Our 21, now 22, sadly, 22-year-old is going to be 23 and even better. Like, we have a legitimate case for next year. So the one thing I agree with a few of those comments is that sort of not this year, but next year. The next thing I want to dig into is the seeding, which makes total sense. I don't think this team beats the Bucks in a 7-game series. Again, I know, a negative comment. I'm going to get bashed for it because come a 7-game series against the Bucks, I know they can beat them. I know they can. I just don't think they will. I think the Bucks are really underrated. No one talks about them. I think people forget that they have a lot more going on than just Giannis. And even if they only had Giannis going on, like, that's still a pretty damn good thing to have on your team. But yeah, if I'm just being honest, I think that Giannis and the Bucks has to be their biggest threat in this league. They've already shown that they can beat them, sure. They've already shown they can beat the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Sixers. Like, I'm not really afraid of those teams, but for some reason, the Bucks, the ability that they have the most unstoppable, and I'm using that word, the most unstoppable guy in Giannis, he's not the best in the league, but he's the most dominant and unstoppable in my mind. The fact that they have him and the Celtics really can't have an answer for him. I don't care what it is. Like, they're not going to have an answer. No one in the league has an answer for him. Albert Einstein, if he was still alive today, would not have an answer for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nailed that pronunciation. So, yeah, I think the Bucks can beat the Celtics. I think the Bucks probably would beat the Celtics. Am I afraid of the Sixers? Hell no. The Celtics, at this point, can take this Sixers team, fold them up, and put it in their back pocket and sit down for an elongated period of time. I'm not afraid of the Sixers at all. Yeah. The Sixers whooped us a few times this year, right? But look at what's going on. Look at the turmoil. Look at the injuries. Like, I'm not worried about the Sixers this year. But the Bucks, different story. And then the Western Conference teams, I don't know. I just think the Celtics can beat those teams. And, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it. But for some reason, the Bucks stick out in my mind, and that's what's preventing this team from being a contender, because they have to go through the Bucks to contend, you know? An Eastern Conference Finals berth does not scream contender to me. Maybe seven-game series there tells me contender, but if you're a contender, I want you in the finals. I know that's probably pretty, you know, judgmental of me or hard-nosed of me to be like, hey, no, to even be a contender, you have to be in the finals, which pretty much equates to two teams are contenders every year. But that's just where I am right now. So, yeah, the seeding is definitely important. If they have to play the Bucks earlier than the Eastern Conference Finals, then that's a tough one for me. Another thing I wanted to bring up was the minor pieces they need. Now, I believe his name was George. George, in the replies, you said they need a big man. And then someone else also said you need a tall big man. Blown out of proportion, in my mind. Now, I'm not saying you guys are wrong, because if the Celtics were to get a pretty rim-protecting big man, then yeah, they'd get a lot better. They'd be that much closer to being a true, true, true contender. But in my mind, that's not their issue. Their issue is the bench scoring. And yeah, past couple nights, they've had some bench scoring, but that's because of how many injuries they've had. That bench guys have just played a lot. But this Celtics team has zero bench. Look at the Bucks, and I hate to keep talking about the Bucks, but look at Kyle Korver, Ersan Ilyasova, George Hill, Robin Lopez. These names coming off the bench, and the fact that I left some out is crazy too. These names are coming off the bench, and then you look at the Celtics, and lately it's been Semi Ojeleye, Brad Wanamaker, which we are going to talk about, Javonte Green. Like, what are we doing wrong with that bench? It is absurd to me that we can trust those guys night in and night out. And one thing I'll say, someone in one of the streams lately or recently said, why are we playing these bench guys that have no value? Semi Ojeleye, no value. Brad Wanamaker, no value. Javonte Green, no value. Grant Williams, no value. That isn't true. Like, those guys have value. It just comes down to a point of, okay, if you have to rely on these guys, then that sort of spark value goes away. Like, you can't rely on a Semi Ojeleye. Hell, I'm saying this the night after he drops career high 22, but still, you know, relatively speaking. You can't rely on a Semi Ojeleye, but can he add value? Sure. If you don't have to give him this huge responsibility of, say, covering Giannis when the bench comes in, then he does have value. He does serve value. You just can't rely on him. Two completely separate things here. Almost two polar opposites. Can someone have value? Yes. Can you rely on them? They're mutually exclusive. You know? So keep that in mind when saying, like, a guy like Brad Wanamaker or Semi Ojeleye do not serve any purpose or do not have value. If the Celtics had a better bench, those two names in particular would have a pretty good value. Like Semi Ojeleye, a really strong, bull-like defender. Brad Wanamaker, a larger, strong hands, you know, doesn't make too many mistakes, sort of guard. But when you have to play them 20 minutes a night, then you're in trouble. Then all of a sudden that value they're supposed to provide, all of a sudden the value is like this. All right, they serve value for 1 minute, and now they're going to stink for 19 more. So keep that in mind. So that's kind of my overarching opinion of what you guys said. So yeah, I disagree with the big man take. I agree with they need a piece. They need a bench score. And I think a guy like Isaiah Thomas, bring him in. And like I said, a guy like Isaiah Thomas, if you can get him, Evan Turner, just some of these names that are out there, I think anything would help, because everyone says, oh, where's that Isaiah Thomas? Where's his minutes going to fit? Give all of his minutes to Brad Wanamaker and see what happens. On any given night that you need a bigger guard, play Brad Wanamaker more. It's very simple. It's not like you're asking for the world here. So yeah, big man issues, I don't think they have big man issues. I think Tice has been playing his absolute balls off. I think Robert Williams getting back into it, getting acclimated, is going to be great, and I think Cantor still serves a serious purpose here. those three big men right there, I think, are going to do a hell of a job. So keep that in mind. And then the getting additional piece, sure, I totally agree with also a couple of you guys mentioning not this year, but next year. And the one thing I'll say about, you know, I think it was Mark that said this team, it's got a recipe for success. Yes, but come playoff time, other teams are going to be playing harder and there's going to be less time for mistakes, less chances to capitalize on mistakes. And I don't see this team being able to, I hate to say it. I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but I don't see them being that offensive rated and defensive rated team like they are now. I think both of those are going to sort of come back just a little bit. And why is that? Funny, we talked about this already. The health concerns. We're going to see a team that's beaten and bruised and banged up. You can't maintain numbers like being one of the best offensive teams and one of the best defensive teams when, hell, three of your guys could be injured on any given night. So, yeah, I mean, if you have to quote me here, my biggest thing is, all right, this Celtics team is a contender. They're not a true, true, true contender. They're probably not going to make it to the finals. If they do, they'll win the finals. That's my thing because I'm not afraid of the West. If they can get through the Bucks, they win the NBA Finals. You heard it here first. But I do think they're, you know, a year or two away. And what's different about saying that this year? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. There's something magical going on there that we can finally say, no, this year or next year or the year after. And all of a sudden it has way more meaning, way more weight behind that statement. So are the Celtics a true contender? In my book, no. Are they a contender? Can they contend on any given night? Yeah. Like, I'm not taking that away from this team. We've seen them. To your points here, we've seen them beat all the best teams. I'm not afraid of any other team. I'm not afraid of any other team at all, really, other than the Bucks, like I've said at length here. But I'm not really worried about that in as much as I'm worried about the Celtics. Like, if they can't stay healthy, then I don't see them contending, right? All right, we're ready to move on here because why don't we play the voicemail and then we'll get to some of the... No, we'll go to a couple Twitter questions here because I think a couple of them are relevant as we talk about contender and also Brad Wanamaker. So we'll get to here. This one's coming in from Scott Howard, Stearns, and Foster. He says, who is going to win the NBA 2022 finals, the Celtics or the Pelicans? All right, so obviously neither one of these teams are given to win the championship in 2022. But what I'll say is, if we're trying to say who is more likely to win it in 2022, right? That is a tough one. You talk about two of the most up-and-coming teams right now. You look at that Pelicans team, it's scary how good they can be. And just like with alone just being saying Lonzo, Ingram, and Zion. It's like, but there's so many other guys on that team too. It's crazy. But I do think the Celtics are a better overall team. I think Tatum's going to be better than Zion for the length of both of their careers. Zion is sort of that spark plug. But he's got injury concerns for one. I'm not even trying to focus on those, but he does. We can't ignore them. And I don't think he's as dynamic of a player. Like, let me paint you this picture. And yes, they have Ingram, but not going there. You take the two stars, which is going to be, by that time, Tatum and Zion Williamson. One of the teams is up by one, and you need, you know, Zion or Tatum to take a last shot. Who makes that shot? Who misses that shot? Zion doesn't have as many moves in his bag, or I guess, excuse me, like Perk said a couple of weeks back, he doesn't have as many moves in his suitcase like Tatum does. And if those are going to be the future of the franchises, I'm trusting Tatum. And then you want to say, oh, but Brandon Ingram's the true like scorer and size up scorer there. Well, then still, I would take Tatum over Brandon Ingram. But I think Brandon Ingram, as long as he's playing with Zion, is going to be that second guy. Whether or not he's scoring more points than him or not, Zion is the draw. Zion is the hype guy, and he is the future of the Pelicans. Along with, you know, Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball playing a secondary and tertiary fiddle. But who's going to win that NBA Finals, Celtics or Pelicans? Lock the Celtics in all day. We've been too negative on this show so far that for me to say the Pelicans are going to win the finals of 2 years from now. Hell no. 2 years from now, the Celtics are going to win the NBA Finals. Book it. All right, next question's coming in from Sports 101 USA, and I believe, man, I think we talked about this with each other in my post-game stream as well, talking about Brad Stevens and his sort of affinity for Brad Wanamaker. So let me read your question here. It's coming in from Sports 101 USA. What's it going to take for Brad Stevens to realize that Brad Wanamaker is no way, shape, or form better than Carson Edwards? So let me paraphrase this. Let me paraphrase this. I don't think Carson Edwards is better than Brad Wanamaker, okay? So I'm going to disagree with you there, but I know, like, you probably already heard me say when we were talking about it on the stream, why not give the rookie that can go off for a million points in a minute the shot? Brad Wanamaker stinks, all right? We named him Brad Stinkymaker on the stream. It's probably too harsh. Like, he's given a task that's just too tall for him. It's not fair. But who cares? This is the league that, this is the game, the league, the team that we're watching. We have the right to be judging Brad Wanamaker based on his play. So I'm going to disagree with the, what is it going to take for Brad Stevens to realize Carson Edwards is better? I don't necessarily think he's better. Like, Carson Edwards hasn't shown us shit, to be honest. Is he going to be better? Is he worth trying to give more minutes to? That's what I'm going to agree with. Why can't Carson Edwards play more? You signed him to what? A record-breaking deal in terms, or not record-breaking, but a rare deal. Before he even played for you, you signed him to, I forget what the deal was, 4 years or something for a second round draft pick. Like, it was crazy. And you're not even giving the kid a chance. And it's not like he's not NBA ready. No, he looks fine when he gets out there. He has some defensive lapses, sure, but he gets in there ready to shoot. I think it's a rhythm thing. Like, it's not a skill thing from Carson Edwards. I don't see him making all these crazy mistakes. I see him getting in there, doing what he's supposed to do in jack threes and bricking them because he has zero rhythm. So Sports 101, I'm agreeing with you that I think it's time that we start benching Brad Wanamaker, and maybe not even a total, like, you know, 15-minute for 15-minute swap. I just think we got to mix Carson Edwards in there more. Let him get going, because, I mean, I'm not the only one that thinks that Carson Edwards could probably somehow win you a playoff game, am I? Like, Carson Edwards is the type of guy that if he gets hot, he's really hot, and boom, like, he can change a game. Brad Wanamaker, no offense, Brad Stinkymaker, there's zero chance you can do that. Brad Wanamaker is never going to win you a game or get hot and go for 40. It's not in his player makeup. It's not in his tendency. Like, Carson Edwards has way more potential than Brad Wanamaker. He just doesn't have the floor right now, but I don't think he's going to get that floor this year unless you start saying, hey, screw it, let's play him a little bit more. All right, let's get to a voicemail, and then we'll start wrapping up. I'm going to give you my playoff seeding predictions of the Eastern Conference, and then next episode, we're going to do the Western Conference. So we got a voicemail to play, and then we're going to do that. But first, please just stick around through this ad read. I know we already had one at the top of the episode, but just stick around 30 seconds or skip 30 seconds and just stick around. All right, this voicemail is coming in from Brandon, now the leader in terms of how many times he's called in and helped the show. I appreciate you, bro. Keep calling in, and let's play his voicemail now.
Yo, what up, Ev? It's Brandon. I want to know who you think has the biggest.
Who has the biggest what, Brandon? Oh, boy. All right, let's see what we got.
Well, who you think has the biggest holes in their game as far as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Or what are their biggest holes, actually? All right, brother. Keep it easy.
All right, I'm glad that turned out like it did. Thank you for the voicemail. Again, the number is 617-302-6363. Leave your voicemail, and we're playing it on one of the upcoming episodes. So shout out again to Brandon for leaving the voicemail. He says, what are the biggest holes in Jason's game and Jaylen's game? So I'll start with Jaylen because, we'll start with Jaylen. What is the biggest hole in Jaylen's game? To me, and he's made some drastic improvements on it, so this is kind of a good sign, right? Like, it's always been his hole in my mind, but he's been really good at it. So I'm going to take it in two directions. The one thing that he's pretty much already fixed is playing 100% speed all the time. No, he's gotten so good at slowing down and understanding when to slow down, but kind of parlaying that into something else, which I think he's always been pretty bad at, is that sort of split-second decision-making, and I don't think he's superb at that now. So even like a three-on-one with him on the break, Tatum on the break, and Kemba on the break, your three best players on the break, I don't know if Jaylen Brown with the ball makes the right play. Does he always score? No. Does he score a lot? Yeah, because he's still a very good player. Does he make the right pass sometimes? Sure. But I don't necessarily trust his split-second decision-making or his basketball IQ decision-making. Make sure you're focusing that I'm saying decision-making, because he's got a hell of a basketball IQ. But his sort of ball in hand, make the right play, I think he still needs some work on. But hell, that's a pretty good problem to have, because if you were to ask me a couple years ago, I would have said if he wants to be good, he's got to be a way better shooter. I don't have any issues with Jaylen Brown's shot now. So he's definitely making strides. And even last year compared to this year, He's done a hell of a job in terms of improving what I just talked about. So now we have Jason Tatum. What is Jason Tatum's biggest hole in his game? Now, nothing in terms of scoring. I think he's phenomenal at that. I think his defense is so underrated. The biggest hole, I'll broadly put, his passing. He's not put on that court to pass, though, so I'm going to get even more specific, and it's something that even last night was the first time I saw him doing it pretty well. Him sort of reacting to a double team or a trap or some odd defense towards him and doing the right thing. So, to be honest, we saw it a lot. We've seen it a lot. Jason Tatum, he gets trapped, he gets double teamed, and he almost shits himself. Right? We've seen it. He's still 22 years old. It stinks having to say 22. I wish he was still 21. By the way, happy birthday, Tatum. But to me, it's like, I wish he sort of had that instinct about him, like, before he got double teamed. Instead of having to make the play when you get double teamed, know the double team's happening and make a play before it happens. And the first time I ever saw him really excel at this was against Cleveland last night. So Cleveland's coming to double team and he's making the right play, finding the right guy. He probably had so many assist to assists or hockey assists, whatever it is. And I really love seeing that, because that was, I don't know, it's just something that I was noticing and again, it's not the double team always. It's going to be when weird defenses like traps or zones are thrown at him. He doesn't necessarily know where to go with the ball if he can't take a guy one-on-one. Does that make sense? So that is his hole. I do think that that's a pretty good hole to have. Just like Jaylen Brown, it's another thing that he's working on, but it's not this like huge, like overarching hole. It's not this, oh boy, Brennan's asking who has the biggest. Now I'm saying it's not this huge hole. But no, it isn't this void to fill in their games. It's something that they need to get better at if they want to reach the next level. Like, if Jason Tatum wants to be that MVP, he's got to be able to do that. He can't turn the ball over when getting weird looks thrown at him. And Jaylen Brown, if he wants the ball in his hand a lot, he's going to always have to make the right play. So let me know what you think. EvGuyBoston on Twitter, let me know what you think of those holes and who has the biggest hole between the two. I would say the bigger holes, Jaylen Brown. I think Tatum's almost more of a complete player now, and he's not as athletic as Jaylen, but I think people sleep on Tatum's defense and certainly don't sleep on his offense. I think he's just got more potential, more stardom, more defensive sort of capability. And I know it's weird. Jaylen seems like he's more of a lockup guy, but Tatum off-ball defense with those lanky-ass arms, whew, I'm loving it. And then he's a better offensive player. So, which shouldn't surprise anyone. Jason Tatum, and this isn't a knock on Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum has surpassed Jaylen in terms of where they rank in terms of the Celtics power rankings, right? Maybe that's a segment we should start doing, ranking the top, 10 Celtics right now, because that would vary week to week. Let me know if you guys think it's a good idea, but let's get into one other thing that was sent in here, giving playoff predictions for the East and the West. Now, like I said, I am kind of being smart here, getting more content, stretching it out. I'm going to do my Eastern Conference playoff rankings, and you know what? No. We'll save the Eastern Conference. We've talked about Celtics. We've talked about the East. We've talked about, everything in the East so far. Why don't we do Western Conference this episode, which you guys probably don't care as much about, but it's already, 30 minutes into the podcast. Who knows who's sticking around? I know this voice gets annoying after a while. So we'll do the West this week, and then next episode we will do the Eastern Conference seeding. So, yeah, let's see where we go. I haven't really put too much thought into this because I'm just trusting my gut instinct, and I'm not going to spend too much time breaking down the reasons here. I'm just going to give you my eight now on March 5th, 2020, just so we can see where we are at the end of the year. So currently it's Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Jazz, Thunder, Mavericks, Grizzlies. That is where we currently stand in the 1-8 seeds. So I'm going to go, I'll go eight up here, and what am I seeing? So this was tough, because if you were to ask me this a little while back, I probably would have changed my answer. I would have said the Pelicans are making the playoffs, but that sort of 8-9 in the West is like decided by one game. It's crazy. So, you know what? We'll do it. Hot take here. I think the Pelicans are going to be the 8th seed. Then I think it's going to go Thunder in the 7th seed, Mavericks 6th, Jazz 5th, and then I guess the top 4 are going to stay the same, but I'm going to switch it around a little bit. So in the 4th spot, it's going to go Rockets, 3rd spot, Nuggets. Right now it's Clippers. No, they're gonna flop. So then it's gonna go Nuggets, Clippers, Lakers. So my top eight in the West is gonna be Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Jazz, Mavericks, Thunder, Pelicans. I believe that's what I said. I'll fact check that. But yeah, we'll see at the end of the year where I stand with that. And again, stick around for next episode. We will give our Eastern Conference standings. Right now, Celtics in third. about a game behind the Raptors. Are they going to overtake them? Who knows? Stick around. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. As always, share the podcast around. Make sure you are subscribed on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcast. We are there. And if we aren't there, make sure you reach out to me or the Ev Guy Boston or the Ev Unleashed account, and we can try and get to your preferred platform. So those 5-star ratings you guys have been giving have been awesome. I'm telling you, like, I think in the last month or so, we've gained 100 and yeah, obviously using this big brain here, all of a sudden I'm like, maybe I should be asking people to rate this podcast. And when I do, you guys have actually come through. So shout out to you guys. You have subsided and minimized that handful of people that for some reason, you know, I caught the heat on Twitter and people just were giving the podcast a 1-star rating. No, we're back up with over 200 ratings to a 5.0 star rating. So shout out to you guys. The most legit Celtics podcast on the planet. And yeah, we had some negatives to talk about this episode, but let me tell you, this team is still legit. And why is that? Because I'm looking at big picture. This year, who knows if they're going to make the championship? Who knows if they're going to win the championship? But overall, this team is legit. They are headed in the right direction. Next stop, the moon. Catch you guys in the next episode.